And it was really Louise challenging me. So the question is, are art fairs really a viable way for artists these days to show your art and make money? Is that the key question?
That's the key question.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
And me, Louise Fletcher.
And we have got something really exciting that we're going to share with you by the end of this episode. So if you've ever wanted to get more involved with Art Juice, have something a little bit more interactive, pick our brains. We had a little bit of a brainwave last week that we are quite excited to share with you. We have put something together really special and we're going to tell you about it a little bit later on. And it's all to do with having your best art year ever. So we're going to get stuck in. But before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about what you've been working on this week. So what's been taking up your time?
Oh, so much admin. So much admin. I am moving on to, so I taught a course that lasted 10 weeks and then I offer to the students of that course the opportunity to continue on a second course. So it's only available to those people. So I naively thought, well, it's only those people. It won't be the big amount of work it was to launch the first one, which it isn't. But it is, of course, if people are going to spend money, they've got questions about that. And then when they try to spend money, sometimes the technology doesn't work or something goes wrong. And so I've spent so much time on emails and answering questions, all of which are perfectly valid. It's my fault.
You mean it doesn't all happen by magic?
Yeah, it's my fault that I didn't realize quite. And I had planned, I have 2 weeks off before the next course. And I'm doing a lot of extra content for that second course. So I thought, oh, I can get all that done in the 2 weeks. And my plan was to help a little bit on the site for my new studio, which is in my garden. But there's a lot of groundwork being done, as I've mentioned. And I thought it was lovely weather here for a few days. Being out in the weather, you know, in the nice weather, helping, doing something physical, getting some exercise and feeling like I'm part of it would be lovely. So I said to the builder, every day for the next week, I'm going to be out here for 2 hours doing something to help. And so the first day, I actually was there 3 hours and it was great. I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't want to do that for a living, but it actually is satisfying to smash up walls with a big hammer.
Yep.
And carry rocks and throw them over the edge of my top patio onto my bottom patio. Good fun. But then the next day came and I was too busy and he said, I thought you were going to help. Oh, yeah, well. And then the next day he said, you could clear that today. And I was like, oh, not got any time. And now it's Thursday and tomorrow I haven't got any time. So I haven't actually really helped. All I've done is sat on my computer and I haven't painted. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay. So well, I haven't painted either because it's been half term. I have also been doing quite a lot of computery stuff. So this visibility challenge that we've been running within Connected membership, it's just, we finished yesterday and, you know, just all sorts of fantastic things. So somebody's got a new show booked as a result of just an exercise that we did on day 3. And we've just seen people really step past previous blocks and I think it's just moved people on even if they weren't nervous. So I'm thinking of making this more widely available to just anybody as a little bit of a taster because it's taken a lot to put it together and there's videos and there's things to do and you can space it out and do it step by step. But
can you just say what it is for people who so what is it?
Well, how many of them have you done? Why don't you say what it is?
Well, I only did one and I did two and I didn't post one of them because it wouldn't upload, but I'm still going to do it. So what Alice has been doing in Connected Artists, her membership group, is there were some people who were nervous about being on video or nervous about showing up online. And so she came up with this idea and she seemed to come up with the idea like one day and then just start it the next almost. Yeah. But it was was it 10 days?
It's been 14 days with the title Time to Shine. But it's not just about the it's not about the kind of the technical side of it. I thought we've really got to start with like, why do we all of us, me included, you know, feel this resistance, you know, and really look into and understand what's different from each of us about the benefits of sharing, what it means, how the situation around you makes a difference to whether you feel capable of showing up and doing it. And then just go in small stages, leading people into testing and trialing different ways of showing up online. Everything from like how you might write your Instagram descriptions, how you think about what the purpose of it is for you in terms of connecting with your audience. And then the flip side of that is, you know, how to get over worrying about what other people are thinking about you.
Yeah.
So there's been quite a lot of backwards and forwardsing, I felt, but I think that those two parts together are important to understand how they go hand in hand. So some of it's practical.
Yeah. And it's been really inspirational to watch what people have been doing. And I'd actually put together a video myself, because what I realized from watching other people's is that people, it's just like paintings. When you see an artist who's much further ahead than you, you have a tendency to think, especially when you're a beginner, you think, oh, I'll never be able to do that, so I'm not even going to try. And I had posted a video on there for my own reasons, which was in some ways quite sophisticated compared to what some people were doing. And I hadn't thought of it that way until I saw the reactions. So I made my own video this week, which I'm going to upload, saying, here are all my insecurities, because you see someone like me who goes online and does videos and podcasts and all this without seeming to worry about it. And you think, oh, that person's not nervous. But here's what I think about how I look, and here's what I think about how I sound. And I, you know, neither of them are positive, but I'm doing this anyway because it's so important to me. And if I can do it, anyone can do it, because I know how awful I felt when I first went on video and spoke. But we all have these fears. But anyway, what I was going to say was watching everybody else and how brave people are being, and how then you only have to be brave once, and then the next time it's not as hard, and then the next time it gets easier.
And also just seeing those ideas kind of reflected back. So somebody today has just done a takeover of another big account, and she said, you know, what it's really showed to me is that I find it a little easier when I have to sit down and plan. It took a little bit of time, but she said, you know, when we did the exercise on what this might mean to other people, she said, getting the feedback and understanding that writing about it for me is a really important part of my own process for me. It's not just about marketing. It's not just about publicity. It's what this kind of two-way process means for you and developing your work. So it's been really, really interesting. And, you know, whether I get my act together and I'd just love to make, I think there are so just lots of times people kind of get in touch and they say, you know, what else can we do? And I don't have anything like that. And maybe this could be the first thing. So
yeah,
we'll see.
It's easy to set up.
Really easy. Really easy. You haven't just told us that you spent all day doing questions.
I know. I always think things are easier than they actually turn out to be. But well, that's the thing. It's a good idea to think that way. Otherwise, you'd never do anything.
You never would. We're all in the same boat. So we're moving on to our main topic this week, which actually arose out of a comment that was on the podcast last week and then a discussion that happened elsewhere. And it was really Louise challenging me. So the question is, are art fairs really a viable way for artists these days to show your art and make money? Is that the key question?
That's the key question.
Okay, so before we go into that, what we mean by art fairs is there are very high level art fairs like Frieze and that kind of thing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about situations where artists pay money to have a booth. Now, in the UK, there are lots of events that exist where the walls exist for you. You turn up, you hang your work. The situations and the locations of them vary, and what you get for your money varies hugely. But in general, in the UK, they're indoors, they're in a covered arena. You don't have to have a tent I think in the States, they're called art festivals, where you have to have a tent and you have to supply it and you have to apply and show the organizers how your work looks. In the UK, generally, it's open application for most of them, not all of them, and you pay your money and you get your space and you turn up and you sell your work. So those are the kind of events that we're talking about when we talk about art fairs. It might be slightly different where you are, but this is what we're talking about. So what's your concern with them in terms of what you see?
So I've, for myself, thought about them for the last few years, toyed with it and never committed. And the reason that I've never actually gone ahead and handed over my money for any of the events I've looked at is that I've, from my perspective, and I may be wrong about this, but I've not seen anyone make any kind of good return on their investment. And I have seen that's not true, because when we had this conversation, a couple of people have made a very good return on their investment that I do know, and I didn't know that. However, I'll give you two examples. There's an art fair near me in my town called Art in the Pen. They take over a cattle market and they turn it into an art fair, and it's very popular and very well attended, and I always go. I know two people who've exhibited there, and neither of them covered the cost of their stand. It's not cheap to exhibit there. One of them was invited to participate in a gallery as a result. I don't know how lucrative that has been. The other one had a gallery approach her, but nothing came of it. Each sold a couple of paintings. And for that, you have to stand there for 2 or 3 days with mm-hmm. your work. And to me, it feels to me like artists are being asked to pay to come and be part of the entertainment. It's like that's a trip out for people to go to Art in the Pen and wander around all the stalls, and it's a big fair and it takes a long time to get around. And I just feel like if you are someone whose work fits into a certain type of contemporary art, you can do very well at these fairs. But most artists don't do very well. Most artists don't sell very much. This is my viewpoint. Could be wrong. Everyone can write in and tell me I'm wrong. And so I wonder whether, I suppose I wonder how we decide. Are we one of the people who's going to do okay? Or are we one of the people who's going to sell one painting and maybe have one little gallery in a small town approach us?
Well, I haven't done an enormous number, but I have been doing these since 2016. I've probably done, I think, 10 now. And things have changed a lot over that time for me. And we're not particularly going to, you know, talk about my experience of it, because that might not be valid and relevant for everybody. But the thing that's really important for me to recognize is if I look at the first time that I did one of these, it was a lower cost event. I didn't have a great display. I didn't understand anything about the best way to show my work in a group. I crammed lots of stuff in. I did cover my costs, but only because I only sold one painting. It wasn't like, you know, a bowl over of sales. But if I'd stopped at that point, I would never have learnt all the other things that I've learned when I did it repeatedly, when I understood how my work looks together, when I understand what's going to make an impact, when I understand who is attracted to it and who isn't and why. And some of those people, you know, that I'm still in touch with, and they've gone on to buy further things. I don't think it's necessarily to do with the type of art you make, but I do think that understanding your work and the context where it's showing, it's critical to any of us as artists, really, to understand how those two things fit together. I've seen people do fantastically well or really badly from all different types of art. And the one thing about these events is they are a day out, but they are also clearly sold and clearly marketed as what they are. So you have got an audience of people who should be interested, because if they're not interested in art, why would they be there? They would go somewhere else for the day.
So when you say it's to do with, because you are one of the few people who responded with quite good experiences. So everybody had ups and downs, but fairly
within,
good.
Within that group, which yes. includes a lot of people who are at the stage where they're doing their first or their second.
Yeah, but also quite a few people who've done quite a few. And still there weren't many saying, oh, wow, I just, you know, I'm raking in the cash, me. I just, you know, I'm almost having a foreign holiday based on my art fair sales. People weren't saying that. Only a couple of people. You and one other person, I think. Maybe you and two other people.
Who are the people who've done more?
Do you think it's more? Do you think it's that you've done more?
Mm-hmm. I do. I think it's people who are more practiced in understanding how it fits together, how that conversation with your buyer fits together, how your work looks when it's on the stand.
So you don't think it has anything to do with the level of your work? Because
I do. But I think the level of your work, the level of our work when we first start showing it and getting it out is not the best that it can be or is going to be.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I feel is, so do you, because at the time when I asked that question, there were a couple of quite strong responses that were really urging everyone to do it because there's lots and lots of money in it. And I just feel a bit like, but hang on, is that true for everybody? No, that's not true for you if you're not ready for it. And can't you, you know, isn't there a way to assess? I know what you're saying about selling and displaying, yeah. but actually the work as well. You can put the best display in the world on, you can be the best salesperson, but if people don't want that painting, they're not going to come and buy it.
But you never know that with art. The thing about art is it's always about you doing what you do, sharing your work and making that match up with people who are interested in it. Now, how that happens online, in a real location, at an art fair, we all have to discover. And my point is that when we're at the beginning of that stage, we also tend to be a little bit at the beginning of that stage with our own art making. And it's not always going to be the strongest that it can be. But that's the only way to kind of test it and to learn. Should you think carefully about whether it's the right thing for you to do at the right stage? Of course you can. And personally, would I show my work in a cattle grid? No. There is no way I would show my work. The first time that I heard about that event, I thought, are you serious? What, like where they muck out pigs?
Yeah. What, I mean, it does have quite a smell.
Well, I mean, this is not a situation where you're expecting people to spend, like, am I going to go and buy a Hermes watch in a place where they're mucking out pigs on the next day?
I think no. You just don't spend enough time in Yorkshire though, Alice.
Well,
people do buy paintings there. People do spend money there.
Well, maybe. And maybe this brings me on to my next part is I think it's really important to visit the event first.
Yeah.
And to see how it feels for you, to kind of gauge where you are in terms of the other people who are showing, not necessarily the people who are selling, because the difference between showing and selling is down to a huge number of factors. But how would your work fit? And I don't mean match and blend in, but are you at about the same level of experience? Are you presenting it as well as they are? Could you do better than they are? You know, how do you fit? And you probably don't want to be either right at the top end or right at the bottom end.
I visited one to do that in York near me, because there's not as many around here as there are down south, but there's a big one in York and I visited it 2 years ago, and one of the things that struck me as a visitor was the booths were all the same size, it appeared. Pretty yeah. much all the same size. And there was a bit of samey feeling to it all because of the environment, which was like, it was the race course, but it was inside and it was very corporate. It was very nice setting, but it felt like almost like a corporate trade show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the booths were small. Because they were all the same size, you kind of got fatigue as you were looking at them.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of artists there whose work really stood out because they'd either displayed it differently or they just had outstanding work. But in general, I could just see, and I could see as I was walking around, that a lot of the artists, I was there Sunday afternoon, they'd been there since Friday, and they were slumped in their chairs, and they clearly hadn't been doing very well.
No.
And I just thought, wow, you know, it's easy to look at somebody's booth and see, oh, that stands out.
Yeah.
But much harder to think about, why does it stand out? Is it the quality of their paintings? Is it because their paintings are so different from everyone else's? Is it how they've hung it? You know, it's quite different as an difficult as an outsider or a first timer to figure that out, I think.
And I think a lot of that is to do with, I think if you think of a sense of rhythm as you're going through things, I think we do get fatigued. I think there is an advantage with the ones where it's one artist per booth, in that at least you are looking at one set of display and it's hopefully one person's kind of coherent grouping of work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at some of the really large events, like there's one in London that's all gallery run. So there's a single booth, and within that booth, you might have work from 10 different artists, and then there are 150 galleries there. Well, that's 1500 different, you know, different styles of artwork to look at. It is exhausting to look at.
Yeah.
Whereas at least with the artist kind of centered ones, you've got that control over your space. And I think bringing that sense of breathing space or change of rhythm or change of pace, much like it is within a painting, if you can do that within your own display space, that's one of the things that I think that you learn. And if you can go around an event and see where somebody has managed to do that, you don't have any control over who's next to you, but you do have control over your own space and how it looks.
Yeah.
But that's the learning that happens on it. I mean, we're kind of talking about, like, is this a fair way, I suppose, for artists to sell their work, or is it just a game for the organizers to make money? Now, the costings behind it must be huge. The costings for the organizations to hire that space, to put all that work up, to put all the stand up, to have all the staff, to put things on the private view night, the costs behind it must be astronomical. And I think often artists say, well, you know, wouldn't it be great? You know, we could do it. We could do it better. It's a full-time job putting on these things. Like, they spend all year putting on three events a year. And actually, do you know what? They deserve to make some money out of it. Now,
yeah, no, absolutely.
We deserve to make money out of it too. But I think this is the next part, is that for me, I very much see it as the basis and the bones for my year, in terms of having fixed events in the year gives me a purpose as well. It gives me a purpose in terms of having work that I want to complete. It gives me a purpose in terms of speaking to people on my mailing list, having an event, having something to invite people to, having a reason to get in touch with them, having a reason for getting new work on the website if people can't be there in person. And it kind of gives me a little bit of oomph to get all of that stuff done. If I just want to paint in my studio and create paintings, great. That's absolutely fantastic. But if I want to sell them too, I need some events to sell them at. And I think at least with these, I feel like I have some degree of control, perhaps a little bit more than simply sending my work off to a gallery and not knowing how they're going to hang it. Very few of us, particularly at the beginning, you know, are in the position where, you know, you have a gallery who's going to exclusively hang your work.
Yeah.
And even if they do, even when you look at galleries who do have solo shows of artists, they might have one every 2 or 3 years. You're going to sell enough work once every 2 or 3 years to make a living? No, I doubt.
No, I mean, obviously I want to sell paintings, and I think I just really, I suppose the one thing I can see from this conversation is if I were to book a booth at an art fair, I could attract my own audience to come to that, just like I did at Open Studios, because I have enough people now around the country that wherever it was, there would be some people who would want to come and see me. But if that's the case, can I not just do that for myself? Do I need to pay somebody else? Like in Manchester, I think it's about £1,500 to book a small space.
Yep.
£1,500 for an art fair that gets mixed reviews in terms of sales and attendance. and marketing. And of course, that's the other thing. You're totally dependent on their marketing and their organizing. And
which is why I think you have to watch. And if there's one that you want to do, see how they do it. If you don't like how they do it, if you don't think that their marketing is good enough,
yeah.
if you don't think their marketing is going to attract the kind of audience who's interested in your work, then, you know, that's part of your consideration. But there is a little bit here that you don't know until you try it, and you can't necessarily judge on the first outing. And I wouldn't want to give the impression that this is in any way a dead cert, because anybody who's been around long enough, and you know, if you go, you this is the other thing, when you go, you meet people who are more experienced than you, you meet artists who've been doing it longer, but you know, you understand, like you have conversations about shipping work and how to wrap things, that you know, that is invaluable for, you know, people who are usually used to working on their own. That's the other part of it. But I think judging all of those kind of things for yourself, it's essential in all of this. It's not a dead cert, but what's the alternative? The alternative might be building a huge audience online. And it's kind of frustrating where you have an event like this, yeah, where yes, you've paid a lot of money to be there, and people come along who are on your mailing list, who you have been speaking to, and yet they want to come along and see things in person. So they could have bought it online
prior
to that point. They could buy it online after that point. But it just serves a function in terms of actually showing up and being visible. And I think part of it is you committing to your work as well.
I think for me, well, I've got no problem committing to my work, but does that mean I have to stand in a corporate environment in my booth like a show puppet waiting for people to come and look at my paintings? I just don't think it does. I think there are other ways
maybe
to do it.
Maybe it's just not the right environment and you just wouldn't like that. Maybe that's why for if you feel like that, selling your work via a third party is
or by yourself. I mean, I don't see why I need perhaps it's just that at the moment I don't produce enough work to have a problem,
right?
So I don't have a backlog of lots of things apart from things that I don't like anymore and I want to paint over. So I'm not a great production machine, and I guess if you were, you'd be piling up things and you'd need. But if I were to, for example, I'm thinking about next year when I have my new studio space, maybe 3 times a year there's a visit me event where the paintings are up for sale, displayed, we have wine, it's an evening, you come and look. I'm thinking, yes, I won't reach people who live in Manchester or Surrey when I do that, but I don't have any costs to do it apart from buying a few bottles of wine and putting some cheese out. And I've sold my paintings myself with no commission and no fee. And I just find that so much more appealing than.
So if you can sell everything you make that way, I agree with you. What's the purpose of doing it? For me, though, it's been instrumental in terms of building my audience.
Right.
You know, I've reached people through doing art fairs that would not have discovered my work otherwise. Could I have reached different people probably online? Yeah, I could. But when I started, I didn't know how to do any of that online.
Yeah. And I think you're an exception, because I think you have exceptional work and you present it exceptionally well.
And so I can tell you that there are lots of there are people at art fairs who do an awful lot better than me.
Right.
I don't think that's what it's to do with. You know, if you do an open studio or an open event at your house and you get 60 or 70 people coming over however long it's going to be, you know, these events, some of them have 5,000 or 6,000, 7,000.
Right. But the 50 or 60 that come, if you do an event at your house, are the 50 or 60 that are interested in you.
Yeah.
Not the 5,000 who are interested in that, you know, block down the hallway.
But the 50 or 60 who come to your house are already interested in you, whereas the 5,000 or 6,000, right, you might gather more people who wouldn't come across you otherwise.
I suppose I might.
If you don't need it, then you don't need it.
But I think this is about more than you and I see. This is what I think. I think there are a lot of people being persuaded to part with a lot of money to join in these events when I don't think that it's, when it doesn't pay back. And that's really my concern. I'm not that worried about myself. I'll decide to go or I'll not go, and either way is fine. But I just, I'm kind of arguing devil's advocate, just because it's, you know, it's, everyone gets encouraged to do it. And then I see them say, I didn't make cover the cost of my, but I had a nice time and I talked to some other people and that was good. And I don't just mean people in your group. Like I say, the two I'm talking about are people I know in real life.
Yeah.
And I just think, yeah, but was it worth it to meet some other artists and have a chat and spend £500 or whatever on your thing and only sell one card?
No, if that's where it stops, it's not worth it.
Yeah. But you're saying that you can't get to the place where that doesn't happen without doing that first.
I'm saying it's one avenue.
Yeah.
And if you can think that you can build it through other means, go ahead and do that. It's absolutely not the only avenue at all.
Yeah, I suppose it's like you say. So when I went to the one in York, I just had this, and it might just be that one, because like I said, there aren't that many around here to go to, so it might just be that one, but I had quite a visceral feeling of, oh, I don't want to be here. It just felt very, very corporate, plush carpeted somehow, and they may all, not all feel like that, whereas Art in the Pen obviously does not feel plush and carpeted.
No.
But that feels a lot more fun and funky than the York one did. But either of them didn't feel like something I wanted to do. So I suppose what I would say to people is two things, really. Think about, go and feel what it feels like. Don't just go do art fairs because other people do them and it feels like the only way. Yep. See if it feels like it's for you. And secondly, I suppose I would say, if you do a few and you're not having any success, try and assess why that is.
I think you need to assess after every single one.
Yeah. Is it because of the way you're, are you not going up and talking to people? Is it that the work's not presented very well? Is it, what is it?
Yeah. Is it the fit? Is it the pricing? Did not enough people come along? Did you not engage with people? Do you not understand how you close a sale in conversation?
Yeah.
Did you not have work at a range of prices? Did you actually look at how much work you were likely to sell and do that against the cost of exhibiting there and work out, right, I need to sell 5 pieces or 6 pieces or 2 pieces at this point in order to kind of set yourself some kind of goals for what you're there for? If it's just, I'm just going to be here for 2 days and, you know, let's see what happens. I think that's too vague. I always set myself a good, better, best intention because that gives me something during the course of the weekend to kind of just push me over the line a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, the goal might not be to sell enough to cover the cost. The goal might be to get some gallery interest.
Or just to see how you're, I've got one coming up in March, and at the moment I'm thinking it's going to be a very different in terms of visual display from anything that I've done before. I don't yet quite know how that's going to look. I know I want it to feel very different, partly because of what we were talking about earlier, that sense that everything is a bit the same, and I want to do something different. It feels like that's where my work is at the moment, and this is perhaps a good avenue to show it. Will it affect sales? Probably. I don't know.
It may be in a positive way, though.
Who knows? Who knows? But I think you're right in the sense that should you jump into this without thinking if you're ready for it and if it's the right thing for you? Of course not. Of course not. There are other avenues, but I think that's one of the things to consider is if you're not going to do this, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because none of it is automatic and effort-free. That's for sure.
Yeah.
On to our audience question, which came from Andrew Milne on Instagram, who wanted to send a shout out to other chaps on their art journey. He said, it seems to me that there are a lot of ladies involved in this and just don't want you to forget that there are some blokes out here and we're all doing it too. So hi, Andrew. We totally know And although I know we have kind of grumbles about domestic life, and that can apply both ways as well. So yeah, hi to Andrew, Benjamin, who can I think of, John, all sorts of people who are part of our kind of supportive artist world. Totally, there are other chaps doing it too. But his question was, have you covered finishing a painting from when you decide it's done and the signing it or not on the front, finishes and then storage? So there's quite a lot in there. And a while ago, I actually wrote a blog post after all the things that I do after a painting was finished. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But let's just talk today about the idea of signing or not on the front, because I think this is an interesting one. How do you sign your work?
Well, I at the moment on the back, but why? I'm veering away back towards on the front. Why? Because I didn't like finding a place to put my signature.
Yep.
And so I was using just my initials so that it was small and unobtrusive. Landscape Artist of the Year program, one of the people who judges is a curator, and she's a bit sniffy, and she said, in contemporary art we don't sign our paintings on the front. I always advise my artists not to do that. It's very 1980s or whatever. I was like, oh, okay. So between that and not liking the way it looked, I went to signing it on the back. However, I have recently seen a couple of artists, the way they sign their work, and they make it kind of part of the painting.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I have had people say to me, oh, you don't sign it on the front. I like it when things are signed. So I'm a bit in flux about it at the moment.
How does your signature look? Because I have this issue as well. I mean, my natural signature, I have an initial signature, which I do use occasionally, but because of the S, it flows and it doesn't flow very well with a paintbrush. And I don't want to sign with a marker pen, which I know some people do. But to me, that doesn't feel like it's part of the painting. So I also currently sign mine on the back. And one of those, it was partly because I couldn't physically work out how I want it. Always just sort of felt like it was in the way when I signed on the front.
Yeah.
But then also I realized that the couple of pieces that I've had made prints of, I like to sign the bottom of the print. And I realized that if I'd signed the painting that was part of the print, then you've got a weird two signature thing going on, which is really odd. Whereas I quite like just having the image in its purity. I'm signing it on the back. And when I say signing on the back, most of these are on wood. So it's actually on the back of the panel.
Yeah.
It can't get disconnected from the actual painting itself. And I don't know. It's really interesting, that idea that she said about it being a bit 1980s.
Yeah, she used some phrase like that. But she said, she was kind of like, we don't do that in contemporary art. It was just, you know, like, oh. Okay. That's Kathleen Soriano. I don't know who she is, but she's a judge on Landscape Artist of the Year.
Was that this year?
No, it was last year or the year before. One of the times when they looked at people's work and someone had signed their work and she made that comment.
I think you have to be careful that the signature doesn't take over as a design element and yet also doesn't feel totally separate. And I think that has been the thing for me that's made it a little bit hard, because I want it to feel integrated. I don't want it to be the focus.
Yeah. Well, that said, and you see, I've been doing work on paper now, and somebody bought one before I haven't advertised them or framed them or anything. And I realized when she was about to take it away, oh, she'll put it in the frame because it's on paper. It'll go behind glass and the signature won't be visible. So I put my initials on the ones on paper now, because then there's a little, so I just put a tiny little LF. And yeah. I do use marker pen because I can't possibly control a paintbrush that well to make anything decent.
I have seen one tip. Now, I haven't tried it, but I think it could be quite interesting, which is to use carbon paper and do a signature. So you can get white or black carbon paper, and then you can draw. So you almost get like a transfer of your signature onto the painting, which you could then seal. Haven't tested it, but that's perhaps an idea to try. But I wonder, I don't know whether it devalues. I suspect that by the time you get to the stage where your work is that enormously regarded by the higher art echelons, people would quite like to have your signature on the front. But I'm not sure we fall into that category yet, so I don't worry about it that much. So what's inspired this week then?
Well, mine's a bit of a negative inspiration. I usually come up with something positive, but this week it's been negative. I haven't painted properly for about 3 weeks, probably, you know, any amount of chunk of time painting. And I've realized yesterday, oh, I'm getting quite grumpy and I'm getting quite fed up. And I've woken up feeling down. And I have no reason to feel down at all. So the only thing I can think that would lift me up would be to have time to paint. But my calendar was full today. My calendar's full tomorrow. The weekend always gets filled up with things. And it was more than not so much inspiration as a kick in the pants, just to say you have to find some time, and you have to, I heard something somewhere, and it was on another podcast, where they said, show me your schedule and I'll show you what you value.
Yeah.
And my schedule is filled with helping other people, both in personal life and art life.
Which is tricky, because you value that too, right? Otherwise it wouldn't be there in the first place.
Exactly. But I do value that, but I have always valued putting other people before what I want. And I have to find a balance between the two. It's okay for me that when I'm teaching for a few months, I get less painting time, as long as I know that when that finishes, I've booked time in, and, you know, it becomes part of a flow. But what I tend to do is think, oh, well, I've got some time tomorrow. I could write a blog post, record a podcast, do a video, you know, do something else that's putting out to help other people. And I don't mean to make myself sound like Mother Teresa, because it's also marketing and promotion, but it's all not painting.
It is. I don't know. I think there'll be a lot of people who recognize that from various things. But it's difficult, because usually what is in your schedule are things that you've previously decided are important. And maybe we just don't take the time to review that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, life changes, children go up, family situations vary. And sometimes it is just a question of deciding which things are going to come first. But I do think it's ongoing. I mean, you know, I'm in the same boat this year for different reasons. Different things have been in my diary. But I think it's something that we all probably need to look at, which is maybe a good time to tell people about what we think we're going to, our latest little
latest which isn't painting
brainstorm of a thing that isn't painting, but which for whatever reason we both think is important and we want to do. So what we thought was, we have been going now for 42 episodes, which we never expected, and we have lots of you sometimes write that we had, I haven't even forwarded this to you, another request, please, to go over to the States and teach a workshop. And me more than Louise, because I'm a bit more kind of, I love getting people together in groups. I've been like, can we do Art Juice Live? Can we have an event? Can we get everybody together? And Louise is like, yeah, it's a good idea, but no. but what we thought was that we would have an online get together celebration, how to have your best kick-ass art year yet. How's that? Is that kind of what we thought?
That's a perfect description. So it's kind of an online summit, online Art Juice Live, online interactive experience, online party.
Without taking up too much time. So it's going to happen over the course of 1 week, which is the week that starts the 19th of November. And it will be in a Facebook group. You won't need to sign in or opt in or do emails. This is just a pure anybody who wants to join. So any, you can invite anybody else into the group that you want to join. We don't have anything to sell you at the end of it. You can, the group will stay open. So if you can't do anything that week, you can come back to it perhaps later, you know, when you're taking your Christmas break or whatever. But the idea is that we have some sessions like this, which we stream live into the group so that we can see your comments, we can see your questions, and we are going to be talking about lots of the stuff really that we spoke about last week's episode, which seems to have hit so many buttons for so many of you, about making clear these decisions, putting your work as a priority, time reviews. We haven't totally needled out every single little thing that we're going to cover. Yeah. But what we can say is it's going to be fun. It's going to be live. There is going to be an opportunity for you to ask us questions. We're going to have things, not so many things, but some things for that you can kind of download and work on in your own time. And it's really just a way to brain pool, have fun. Yeah. And we just...
I think we're going to talk about our own situations, aren't we? So we're going to plan our best years ever, and review our, what we've done well and what we perhaps want to improve, like painting more often. And in the process of doing that, hopefully that, you know, just seeing us do that is enough to help everybody else understand how they can do that.
Yeah. So I hope you'll come and join us. There will be a link to the Facebook group in the show notes for this show. So you've got enough time to come and join before we kick off. And like we say, there is no sign in, there's no opt-in. If you want a reminder of it, feel very free now to come to either of our websites and sign up to either of our newsletter lists. It doesn't really matter who. But other than that, just come and join the Facebook group and kick in on it with us. That's it. So yeah, something else to do for another week.
It is something else to do, but it is going to be really good because I think it will force us to do our own thinking and planning and assessing what we're doing right and wrong. And it'll be, you know, it'll be really good for us. So it's worth doing.
Yeah, so please come and join us. So it's not just there on our own.
Because we can do that anyway.
Yeah. So that's about it from us this week. Oh, we haven't done my inspiration.
Yeah, I was just going to say we missed you.
Okay, so my inspiration was going to see the Anthony Gormley exhibition eventually at the RA. I went with my daughter. We were going to go to the Oliver Eliasson too, but that was sold out. But I think it would be a really interesting comparison because they were both, from what I understand of the other one, they're both exhibitions based very much around experience. And what I loved about the Anthony Gormley was there's one room where he's got all his sketchbooks, and they're really small sketchbooks that he's been working on. I think the earliest ones were 1977, so they've got four big cases, and it's almost like a whole decade of sketchbooks in each case, but they're all small, just notes and ideas. And it's just fascinating to see that development of one idea, but executed through so many different mediums. So from drawing to human scale figures, and some of the things that they've got in this exhibition, like they've had to literally install girders in the roof of the RA to hang things. They've got, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there are things that you can really, you have to get into. I just loved it. And I don't normally enjoy sculpture or any of those kind of installation type art. It usually leaves me feeling a bit cold, but for some reason I just really, really enjoyed this. And just the sense of this idea that you can just develop one idea in so many different ways without getting bored of it. You know, that's just a lovely thing. And I think sometimes where we worry about, or does everything have to fit together, this really showed that no, just follow your interest. And some of the sketchbooks just showed how he was working, the conversation between him and the RA, like, how much can I destruct in your space? Like, can we actually do this physically in your space? And the amount of work that constructionally and engineering wise must have gone into putting this together was just mind-blowing. So it was really, really awe-inspiring, and I absolutely loved it. So it's on until the 3rd of December. If you can get to it, or it's been on your kind of wish list and you're not sure about it, really try and get space before you can go. So that was my fab inspiration this week. That's it. So we're going to leave you until next time. We will give you a little reminder for this lovely event to come and join us. But like I say, come over to the show notes, come over to our website. By Tuesday, we will have had something on both of our websites. So mine is alicesheridan.com, Louise is louisefletcherart.com. And that will give you a link to come and join us for that Make Your Best Art Year Ever challenge. We kind of should think of a snappier title, but we haven't really got one. But we might do by then.
I like it.
Bye. So as well as a slightly depressing shopping trip, I think did I mention that last week? I can't remember when that happened now. It's all blurring with my very young and slim teenage daughter. It's a weird thing. I bought new jeans, new shaped jeans. You know, for ages, they've always been a bit lower and a bit tighter. And now they're a bit looser and they come up around your waist. And it's a bit like jeans were back in the 1980s.
Bananarama.